You are listening to WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. It is 6 o'clock, and now time for a special presentation on 1230 WSOO, the Laker Hockey Show, live from the Antlers Restaurant. Right now, let's go down there, and Bill Crawford at the microphone.
All righty. Thank you, Jim DeSanto. And we are live on WSOO 1230 AM tonight and here at the Antlers on a cold winter night in Sault Ste. Marie. And Damon Witten is with us. Andrew Domit is going to join us in the second half of the show, the captain of the Laker hockey team. And Damon, no games to talk about this past weekend, but we can certainly talk about other games that went on because they all had a positive impact for Lake Superior State and the playoff chances of the Lakers. And we'll get into that in a minute. But blue-white game, exhibition, proceeds went to the Marcus Anderi Memorial portion of the seating at Puller Stadium, the refurbished Puller Stadium, and took in about $1,400 on Saturday afternoon, early evening, to help out with that. I think that's pretty darn good. There wasn't a tremendous crowd there, and there very rarely is for a intra-squad scrimmage, and especially when you sandwich it between a Sault Ste. Game and a Eagles game later that night, people have to make decisions as to where they're going to go. And I thought it was good. I thought it was a good game, and I thought the guys had a good time with it, and it was a 3-2 blue victory. And I even had to cough up a buck to Wes DeYoung because Wes, who helped coach the white team, actually bet on the blue team. He gave me 5-1 odds, so I told him I want a buck of that action. I'll take the white team, and we got beat 3-2.
Sounds like a conflict of interest for the coaching staff down there.
Yeah, it was.
No, you know, it was a really good day, and you know, obviously for a great cause and great event, and thanks for all the fans coming down. Like I said, it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was good to kind of get a little bit of a different crowd. Some people might not always see us over at Taffy Able. So we enjoyed it. The players enjoyed it. It's really nice to kind of flip the script on your team a little bit and get them out of their comfort zone and then down to Puller where it all started. So I really like the thought behind it and the concept. I think as we move forward and we do this more often or hopefully year in and year out, it'll grow a little bit and we'll be able to do more of a little bit of a skate with the team after and get some more youth involved locally. But I thought it was really good for, obviously, for Marcus and in his memory and then also for our team to be out there. And we hit some good points on it. I'm sure we'll cover a little bit more of the actual play here shortly. But really happy that we were able to get down there and really, like I said, just get in front of a different crowd that we don't get to see as much.
Well, it was a good opportunity, too, for the fans to see some players play who don't normally play. I thought Pete Magariadis and Aaron Davis did a really good job. Both of them played very well in goal for the Lakers in that for the blue and the white team in that game. But some other guys really showed me some things, too. I thought Ian Miller had a heck of a game for the white team and several other players. You can tell they're competing. They're trying to get back in this lineup.
Yeah, well, and that's what we stressed. You know, obviously, you know, our power play has not been a strength of our team. And so even those power play touches, and even though, you know, I didn't like some parts of it as well, but we talked to the guys, you know, you want an opportunity to play. You want an opportunity to be on the power play or the penalty kill. Here's your chance. You know, here's your chance. We talked today quite a bit about Matthews from Seattle. You know, here's a guy working at Foot Locker and gets a chance to play in the Super Bowl, and he has three catches, a touchdown. You know, when your number's called, you better be ready to take advantage of the opportunity. And you mentioned Miller. I thought he did a good job of that. I thought Davis was very good in that for, you know, his team. And then Pete was good as well. But I thought Davis, you know, really had a strong outing for him. And some guys took advantage and some guys didn't take advantage. And that's, you know, why you want to do that, though. Some kids who are looking for chances, opportunities, you know, if you don't get to travel, if you don't get to play as much as you like, here's a great example to be ready, to show us why you should play, to show us why you should be on the power play or penalty kill or, you know, the starting goaltender, whatever it may be. So I really like that aspect of it. I thought the compete level really picked up as it moved along. And some guys were able to take advantage and do a good job with it.
Yeah, and another thing that I noticed we did a little bit different, and maybe it's because Rich Mitro was behind that blue bench, but Aiden Wright was up front on the power play, and he scored a goal. And he had an assist, and he played darn well.
Well, you talk about taking advantage. I mean, you know, unfortunately for Aiden, it didn't get him in the power play net front today in practice. And that was more a little bit how our teams were put together because you have the split squads, or our full power play group couldn't get out there because of the teams. But, I mean, yeah, you play that well there. And, you know, boy, today we're talking about it. Should we put him there? And You know, if things don't turn around and pick up, then he might get his chance there. But that's the opportunity you want to take advantage of. And yeah, maybe not a better example besides Davis and Wright and the way they played in that inter-squad scrimmage.
Yeah, very good opportunity for some players to get in there and show what they could do. And I think the guy who's going to join us tonight played really hard, too. I thought Andrew Domet rushed the puck well. You expect that out of a senior, I guess. And we'll talk to him a little bit more about playing at Puller Stadium and that experience when he joins us here in the second half of the show. An interesting aspect of the game as it went on, especially in the second half, and we should explain that you did play two halves, and that game was kind of running time. What was it, 25 minutes or something?
Yeah, 2:25s.
Yeah, but it worked out pretty well. I thought Globke and Perfetto got things really heated up in the second half of that game. They weren't very happy with each other.
Yeah, and you know, that was part of it. And the reason we did 2:25s is you only had four defensemen on each team. So, you know, you got to be a little bit careful of how taxing you get on some guys, and you only had three lines. So it's not like you had four lines to recover and buy some time. So we want to be a little bit careful. Those defensemen play quite a bit of minutes for us. So that's a little bit why the 2:25s and the running time. We stopped a little bit in the third period because we felt like we had some energy and juice left in the legs. But, yeah, you mentioned Globke, Perfetto. You know, ultimately when it comes down to it, guys want to win. You know, nobody likes to lose, and the competitive juices, even though it's your own team. And I thought the first half, both Rico Fada and Rich Micho talked to their teams, like, we've got to be ready Friday in Fairbanks to be ready to drop the puck and play a game. And Fairbanks is coming off a bye week as well. But you can't lose the intensity and the compete level that you have to be ready to go with. So both those coaches adjusted with the team, like, hey, let's compete harder. Let's play stronger. And you saw that in a lot of areas, and probably none more so than Perfetto and Globke. And I don't know exactly what the deal was, but they certainly had a little thing going there where it picked up and ratcheted up a little bit. I think Domet and Sandler, you know, a little bit as well, and that's not surprising with those two, both two tough customers. So, but it was good for us. We needed that, and I liked the way we finished more so than that first half.
Yeah, you got to go play this weekend up in Alaska. What's the travel plan there? Generally, you leave on Wednesday late in the day and make the trip up there probably early in the day on Wednesday to make sure you get there. It's so long, it's so far up there, a real test, and then you're going to come from an exhibition game at Puller Stadium, which is small ice, to playing up on the big ice surface in Alaska. You're going to practice at Big Bear this week?
You know what? We didn't. We did for Anchorage, and we liked it. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of kicking myself for not, but it's so disruptive because guys, a lot of our guys have class right to 150, so they'd have to rush from class right over, and then your mind's not totally into it. We have guys that have class at 6 o'clock, so they got to sprint out of Big Bear and get back to campus and drop things off. So we felt like it was really disruptive, and even though there was some benefit for sure, we decided not to go to Big Bear for this trip. Obviously, we'll see the results there and decide on Northern if we do it this way or the other way. But we decided not to do that. Wednesday, we leave by 9 a.m., and we don't get into about 2 o'clock our time. So it's a long, long travel day, a very taxing trip. You know, that way, and on top of that long travel day, you lose an opportunity to practice on Wednesday. So today was more of a typical Tuesday practice, a real heavy grinding defensive day, you know, really touching on a couple areas we want to make sure we're good at on the big sheet, even though you can't mimic that size. And then tomorrow will be more like a Wednesday practice, and then on Wednesday when we travel, we'll just simply miss a day of skating, and we'll worry more about trying to be fresh and have a healthy trip up in terms of hydration and rest and things like that.
Yeah, you're down right now to the final 8 games of the regular season. Every point is so important right now because you're in a battle, obviously, with Anchorage and with Huntsville. And even to a certain extent, there are teams that aren't that far in front of you, Ferris State being one of them, and Ferris lost two this past weekend. It's important now to pick up points. Two of these last 4 series are going to be on the road on big ice. Alaska, which is Olympic-sized sheet, and then Northern Michigan. The other two in between will be here at home. Huntsville, a very important series on Valentine's weekend, the 14th. And then you've got the Ferris State at the end of the season, the first weekend in March.
Yeah, you mentioned to earlier, we got quite a bit of help around this weekend. Beyond that, Bemidji State Bowling Green series, we would have wished Bowling Green could have went in there and taken all the points possible. But, you know, Bemidji's playing at an unbelievably high level, and I think their only 2 losses in their past 10 or 12 games were to us. a couple weeks ago. So that's a streaking Bemidji team that we're able to take advantage of. You know, we're playing our best hockey of the year, and it's the right time to do that. You want to be playing your best as the year finishes up. So tough matchups, like you mentioned. We've only been on the Olympic sheet a couple games here so far, so we'll have to go up and adjust quickly. You know, I like Fairbanks' team. Obviously, they started great. The sanctions hit, and they dipped a little bit. They recovered from that. Now they're in a little bit of a lull again. And, you know, so we're catching them at kind of an interesting time, and we'll see how that, where their mind's at. You know, we talked a little bit as a team about, you know, we're going somewhere. We have plans and goals. You know, Fairbanks doesn't have that opportunity this year. So it'll be interesting if we get a desperate Fairbanks team or a team that's, you know, doesn't have a lot left to play with. But they have a Tyler Morley, who's, I think, fourth in the WCHA in scoring. Becerra's eighth in the league in scoring. Perry Akel's fourth in D-men scoring. So they've got three or four very good hockey players who are at the top of our league and guys we have to be alert to. So that's its own challenge. You know, I don't know Dahlstrom's status in Northern Michigan. He left a game again this weekend with an injury. So we'll see if Matias is back healthy for our series. But he's one of the top goalies in the league and really makes that team just a whole different team when he's healthy and playing. So, but its own set of challenges on the big sheet. And then, like I said, you know, hopefully we're not kicking ourselves for not going to Big Bear and getting a practice on the big sheet tomorrow. But I think we'll be ready. And I think we're excited to get up there and then get back to work.
Yeah, you look at this Alaska team, and they've got some Tyler Morley, you mentioned him, 9 goals, 27 points. That's twice as many points as our leading scorer, Bryce Schmidt, who has 7 goals, 7 assists for 14. And then Basara's got 19 points. Perry Akel, who's a defenseman, a St. Louis Blues draft pick and a very big, strong player, has 18 points. These guys that can put the puck away, that'll be a big series for us to play very well defensively. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit here at length about Gordy Dayfield in a minute. He's going to be a very key player.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, those guys you mentioned, like I said, we've talked about them already today. We'll continue to hit that point. You have to have great awareness on the road when, you know, we don't get the matchups we want all the time. And there's a lot of line juggling and defensive shuffling to try to make sure you have the right line out against those top players and the right D pairing. But when you don't get that, you need to make sure some guys who may not typically get the assignment to match up against top players, they have to know what number he is, what his tendencies are, and just have some good awareness of those guys. Perry Akel, you can't miss. I mean, he's a monster out there. You just can't miss him out on the ice. But again, I mean, they have guys that are up at the top of our league for a reason. They're good hockey players, and we have to have alertness throughout our whole lineup in order to shut those guys down.
Yeah, you look at who's got what remaining on the season, trying to figure out, and I know coaches look at these things too, but Anchorage right now has a really tough schedule to finish off the season. Anchorage does have 2 games in hand on Lake Superior State and on Huntsville, but those games, 2 of them are this coming weekend at Minnesota State, then they play at home against Michigan Tech, then they go to Bemidji for 2 games, then they play at home against Bowling Green 2 games, and then they play a home-and-home series to finish out the season that first weekend in March when we're playing Ferris. They've got Alaska home-and-home. So, yeah, there's nobody easy there. Where are they gonna pick up any points that they may need? But, hey, stranger things have happened, too. Huntsville, for instance, has this coming weekend off while we're up in Alaska. Then they play against Lake Superior here in the Sioux. Then they play at home against Ferris. Then they've got Alaska Fairbanks playing them on or at home as well, and then they go to Bowling Green to finish out the season. So out of the teams that are fighting here for these playoff spots, Lake Superior's in a pretty good position as long as it continues to play as it has. And, you know, you played so well at Bowling Green. If you can play that well on the road at Alaska, you're going to win at least one of those 2 games.
Well, we hope so. I mean, a different set of challenges in Bowling Green. But like I said, we're playing good hockey. I mean, we like where we're at. We like the direction we're headed. You know, sometimes you never know if the bye week's good to get rested and healthy or you want to keep with that momentum. So hopefully we can harness that, continue to play that way. You know, you mentioned the series down there and, you know, some missed opportunities Saturday night, but we're playing at a high level. You know, Fairbanks, boy, what a schedule they have. And the polls came out. I just looked at them briefly on the way over. You know, the Mankato, Michigan Tech, Bowling Green just having strong years and then great seasons. And it's such a tough league night in and night out. And Fairbanks has to run through that gauntlet. We had that a little bit earlier, so I don't feel too bad, but I'm glad we're not facing it this late in the year with that travel thrown in.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit at length with Gordy Dayfield tonight, too. He didn't play in the blue-white game for obvious reasons. He's seen a lot of rubber this season. Pat O'Neill's checked out the stats today. Gordy Dayfield right now is 5th in the nation in most minutes played with 1,504. He has the most saves in the country right now with 826. He's faced the most shots this season of any goaltender at D1, 906 shots on goal. And in eight games since the Florida Classic opened up and when he got the eyesight squared away, Gordy Dayfield's .949 in save percentage, which is just spectacular. He's 1.86 in goals against average and has two shutouts in there. So this is a key player, but let's talk a little bit about him because he's a late pickup. This is a guy who was going to go play Division III till you tapped him on the shoulder and asked him to come here. He's been outstanding for this team.
Yeah, and one of the things that stands out to me is those shots against. I mean, that's something, you know, both this year and as we move forward, you know, defensively, we've got to be much better. You know, part of that, we got the young D-core and some inexperience and some transition in our style of play. But certainly as we move forward, I think that'll be drastically reduced. We want to go from those numbers to in the top five or top ten of those categories and make life easier on Gordy and our D-core. So that's something that we really need to change. But you know, Gordy's been special. I mean, what a year, what a tough position, you know, and part of it when the change happened, we sat here and looked at, you know, what we had. You know, Pete Magariolis had never played a college hockey game, transferred from Ohio State. Aaron Davis never played a college hockey game. Kevin Aldridge is coming in off a championship year in Fairbanks in the North American League. Never played a college hockey game. So, you know, we knew looking on paper that it was an area that we had to make sure, you know, if you're not strong in net, you're going to have a long, tough year no matter where you're at. So we wanted to make sure we had competition in that spot, you know, guys who could come in and help and hopefully compete and elevate our whole goaltending position. So through that all, I know when I had the job, it was one of the first things I did. I watched. I couldn't tell you the amount of hours of film I watched on goalies from all around North America and Europe and just pounding, trying to find a goalie who was eligible, who could help us and come in and fight for a spot. Then when Coach Aubrey, Coach Micho jumped on board, I had those guys watching as much film as we can. We kept coming back to Gordy, and Gordy played in Coquitlam in the BCHL. The goalie before him was out at Mankato, not Williams, the other guy from last year, Cole Huggins. And Huggins was the rookie of the year actually last year when Williams faltered. Huggins went in, did a great job for Mankato. The coach there in Coquitlam said that Gordy was better than Cole Huggins or just as good and really, really had high praise for him. I loved his track record. Everywhere he's been, he had to kind of fight and scratch to make a level. And then, you know, he played in the Superior International Junior Hockey League, which is not a, you know, highly regarded league, but he got his team to the Royal Bank Cup actually, beat some great teams to do that. Next year had to fight and make the BCHL, had a kind of an average first half. Then he got that team in the playoffs. Won the BCHL, took his team to the Western Canada Cup, was a game away from going to the Royal Bank Cup once again. So, you know, for me, you look at goaltenders who come from winning programs, who have track records of success. Gordy hit those things. I liked his athleticism. You know, so a lot of things that really stood out to us and our staff. And obviously, we're very glad he came. He was available, and he's had a great year for us.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. That has been one of the real shining spots. You can see on those stats. Since the Christmas break, he has been very, very good. 1.86 goals against and .949 save percentage. Those are spectacular, especially when you consider that he sees an awful lot of shots. We're going to take a break in our show tonight. Again, we are on 1230 WSOO, not on 1400 ESPN tonight. Laker basketball going on right now up at Cooper Gym, and Tim Ellis has both games, and he's on 1400. Hence, we're on 1230 tonight, and we'll be right back with more of the Laker Hockey Show on 1230 W.
Dental service to the 21st century. Make it Cooper Dental, Brady at Portage in the Sioux, 632-0074.
And now let's return to the Antlers Restaurant for the special edition of the Laker Hockey Show on 1230 WSOO. Here's Bill Crawford.
All right, we're back at the Antlers. It's a very cold night in Sault Ste. Marie outside, but it is winter. We're kind of used to that. If you get a chance, if you are a Facebook person and you've got Tom Pink as a friend, check out the outstanding job he did today of making fun of people who live downstate and think 10 inches of snow is a lot of snow. He went on and did a little selfie job and a video, and it just cracked me up this afternoon watching that. Anyway, they did get some snow downstate, and people are digging out down there. We don't have snow so much up here except what we've got on the ground, but it is very cold. We've got questions from our fans who are here tonight. As usual, we've got a good turnout at the Antlers. We really appreciate these fans coming out every Monday night for the Laker Hockey Show. And Damon, one of the questions here concerns the penalties that came about in the blue-white game, and there were a few. And the questioner says, from the roughing penalties, it looks like the coach got the level of intensity in the blue-white game that he was looking for. Have a comment.
Well, you know, that not only that, but we wanted some special teams work, so it was positive from both sides of it. But yeah, like I said, I mean, these guys, they care. You know, we most practices, we have small area games, and the losing team has an extra skate or, you know, maybe pick up pucks or something like that. So we try to make everything a pretty competitive situation. And, you know, these guys hate to lose, and that's what you need. That's what you want in that locker room. You know, it's one thing to kind of love to win, but that hate to lose is a mentality you really have to have. You'll do anything to prevent that. And that started to show a little bit in the second half, and that's what we wanted to capture. So that was good for us.
One of the other questions concerns the walk-on line, the guys who Rich recruited to kind of to get to play in the game because you needed three extra players. I thought they did a pretty good job. They kind of got spotted. They weren't out there very long whenever they did go out. But, hey, they're not in the same game condition that the Laker hockey players would be in. I thought they did a really good job when they were out there. The question is, will any of them stick around now and be on the squad for practice, et cetera? I think there probably might be some NCAA ramifications there.
Well, we could. They all have to, you know, go through a lot of hoops and just to be able to play. They have to do anything our players do in terms of NCAA eligibility. So that stuff is clear. I don't think with where we're at numbers right now, we need them. We're fully healthy for the first time today in quite a while. So we actually had just over five lines and eight D. So numbers wise, we're okay. I thought they did a heck of a job. I mean, you know, you're never sure. I saw them practice a little bit with Rich, and Rich was kind of evaluating them a little bit to make sure they were capable to play at this level. And, you know, I thought one or two, you know, with some conditioning and getting back to this pace, you know, could help us and do a good job. So I thought they did a great job. We appreciate them helping out. I know, you know, they were all very appreciative. They loved the experience and the opportunity. And so it was a cool thing to see from those guys. I think Eddie Bishop at some point was trying to get an interview and, you know, get their thoughts from their experience. So hopefully we'll be able to get some interviews and hear a little bit about what they thought about it, the size, the speed, the skill, all those things, and just how they enjoyed it and what a cool experience it was for them.
Yeah, and I think if you want to learn something on that, check the Laker website. Eddie posts those things. He gets them up very quickly. He's done a great job. That's another positive thing, I think, the second half or since November with this team is Eddie Bishop's addition. He's done a really good job of interviewing people. And stays pretty hot with the social media during a game. He's got Twitter going and Facebook, and he's up to date with everything. And he's been positive as well.
Yeah, no, and we think it's important. You know, recruits are following that. Parents certainly watch it. So the more we can get out there on those social media avenues, we're going to try to do that and continue to expand that. It's a very important avenue. You know, one of my favorite things is the goal highlights or the weekend highlights that we get up after the weekend. So, and it takes a lot of work from Ned and Eddie and Linda, everybody back in our sports information department. So we appreciate them taking on the extra hassles. I noticed the other day, I think the basketballs have it going now. So just a chance to get to know our kids a little bit more and put our kids out in front of everybody.
Yeah, speaking of basketball, the women's game's at halftime. We do have an update there. It's not good. Northwood leads the Laker women 39-21 at halftime. Laker men will be playing Northwood later tonight. There's a team that's got it going right now. They won against Northern and Michigan Tech over the weekend, and we wish Steve Hedding and his team luck in game two up at Cooper Gym tonight. Injuries, you just mentioned everybody's back, everybody's healthy. Does that mean Scott Patterson's able to play?
Yep, he was. You know, he maybe could have done it Saturday, but Matt McKelvey, our trainer, thought it'd be good to give him a couple extra days and just be sure with it. So today in practice, he was a normal color and took some bumps. And, you know, he's looked good. You know, he's got that real good stick and then the power play ability. Now it's a matter of getting back in game shape and, you know, trying to create an opportunity for himself to get back in the lineup. But he is healthy and we're full go.
Yeah, another question we've got here concerns the power play and the penalty kill practice-wise. It goes on every day, but this questioner is asking why only one team took the power play practice today and not the other. I don't know.
Today at practice?
Usually you do both.
Yeah, we actually had three groups at practice today, so I don't know if some of the jersey colors, you know, dependent. When we set up our jersey colors, it can be difficult because you don't always have a power play just one line, so we're pulling guys from different lines. So before practice, we sit there and spend a little bit of time trying to coordinate our jersey colors. So if Al Glopke is going with Perfetto, We try to have both those lines in the same color. And you can't always do it because some of the mismatches, but we actually did three groups today. One group was very similar from the inter-squad scrimmage there, and a couple tweaks on another group. Actually, Nardi's line fully intact. Nardi, Globke, and Vernacci did have a group today with right and trap look, just more of a 2-3 look. So it's an area we've got to find some answers at. We've looked all season long and continue to do that. So a lot of guys had some work today.
Yeah, the power play and penalty kill have been real problems for this team all season. Right now they are dead last in the nation in both categories, power play and penalty kill, 59th among 59 teams. That's not good, obviously, but it's not something you don't work at. And it kind of got driven home for me what's going on yesterday when I watched Washington play St. Louis in the NHL game. And Ovechkin just parks himself on the left side, just winds up and drills it in the net. And it's like everybody in the building knows where the puck's going, and they still can't stop him. That's a real key for the problems that we have in the power play. We don't have that quarterback to dish it, and we don't have that big trigger man who can really fire that puck.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. It starts at the top with our staff and the people we're putting in place and trying to get going. You know, some of the 5-on-3s going back, you know, that's right on me. We haven't done a lot of 5-on-3 work because we've been so worried about trying to figure out our 5-on-4 power play. So that starts right at the top. And, you know, I think having a true quarterback of the power play that has some moxie, some poise, can slow things down, it is an issue for us. And when you play 5 freshman D, it's tough to have a guy who can come in and do it at that level. So, you know, we're still working through some options and looking at areas, but it's been tough. You know, you like to think your power play doesn't cost you games, but it certainly can win you games. So it's an area that we want to be stronger moving forward. We had some success right after Christmas, and that's tailed back off. It'd be interesting to look at our penalty kill the second half as well, because I think it has improved, but once again, you've got a lot of young guys trying to help on the back end, and it takes some time to adjust and match up against elite players like Morley or Gervais down in Mankato. You know, we're asking young guys to go out against these guys who have played 3-4 years of college hockey, and it's a difficult matchup.
Now, Damon, you've been here for almost a full season now as a head coach. It's certainly a different game for you than being an assistant coach, which you were for several years, learning the ropes here. How would you assess things at this point, you as a head coach? This is a different game for you, too. It's all new territory, and I think you picked yourself a couple of really good assistants who work well with you. That's probably helped very, very much.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, you learn every day, and if you're not, you're in trouble. So we'll continue to evolve and get better. I think Rich and Pete have done a great job. I think I've spoken at length in the past. They're not assistant coaches who push pucks and don't do much. They're both very involved in practice planning on a daily basis, running drills, putting our systems into place. So, you know, they're both guys, and that was with a purpose in putting the staff together. And that'll be something, you know, at some point, I'm sure these guys will move on to different places and opportunities, and we'll look to replace those guys with guys who can come in and help and guys who can be a big part of it. So, you know, we're learning and growing. There's been obviously, I think the rewarding part is to see the growth in our team, to see that we're a much better team than we were 3-4 months ago and the growth we had. So we really like some parts about it, and there's some areas, you know, I need to be a lot better at and continue to grow on and get better. But we like where we're headed, and we like where we're at today. So hopefully we can keep this momentum up that we've created.
Yeah, every week we talk about recruiting, and we've named 7-8 kids who are going to come in here in the next 2 seasons to help this team out. But if you were to look at it right now, you got 3 seniors going out the door. They're all valuable parts of this team at this point. What's the biggest thing you got to work on here off season to have this be an improved team next year?
Well, you know, one thing where there's no question that as a team, we will come back in much better shape. You know, we talked so much time early in the year about our conditioning level as a team. And maybe, you know, part of it's just style of play and the guys getting used to what we're asking at a tempo and a pace that we're trying to play with. But, you know, that bar will be set. There will be no confusion about what our expectations are for guys coming in. And, you know, and that'll help us, I think, get us off to a better start. We're going to be experienced on the back end. You know, I think any college coach or any coach at any level, you want to have experienced goaltenders. That's how you win championships typically. And so that'll be different from day one coming in next year. We will spot 1 or 2 new defensemen as well, potentially, if they can come in and earn opportunities. But so I think there's 2 key areas right there where we'll be, ahead of where our game is at. And, you know, just as a whole program, guys understanding it. We had, you know, Domet sitting here now, and he's not a guy you ever have to worry about his strength level or conditioning level. Perfetto's right there with him. But some guys didn't take it as seriously as our upperclassmen who know what it's all about playing Division One hockey. And, you know, that'll be set in stone from day one.
Yeah, there will be, I'm assuming, end of season, you and the staff will be meeting with each player individually and setting goals. Here's what we want you to do. And because it's tough. Once these guys leave here, they're kind of on their own, and they kind of have to be professionals about something when they're really not professionals.
Yeah, we've tried to do that. I think every 10-game segment, for the most part, we've sat with every single player. So after every 10-game segment, we've had a chance to have individual meetings, which, you know, we think is important, you know, to have that interaction with your players and let them know where they're meeting expectations and maybe where they're falling short of expectations. So no question, we'll do that after the season, and you know, even talk about guys of where we need to see the most gains. And, you know, some guys don't need to be in the weight room as much. Some guys are as strong as they're ever going to be, and they need to maintain that certainly, but they can work on their quickness or their foot speed and lean out almost a little bit. So those will be set for sure, and they'll know from that. And Bill, I was going to talk, are we talking about more recruiting, or is that it for recruiting?
Sure. No, well, let's talk about, you know, recruiting. Well, people love it.
Yeah, well, we come in and we always talk about we're excited about this guy and that guy, but I'll tell the other side of it. You know, we talked about our players not wanting to lose and the competitive nature. So last Tuesday, I got a phone call from a recruit that I've known for a long time and then worked for a long time. Well, he calls and say, hey, coach, I've got a decision. I'm going to North Dakota. You know, and that's obviously a team that's a tough battle to win sometimes with the facilities they have and their recent history and tradition. But, you know, those are the kinds of guys we're going to get on. Coach Rich Micho texted me on the way over, said, hey, player A just texted. He just got done with BU in Minnesota. He still wants to come visit us. So, you know, those are the battles, and those are tough battles. Those are big programs and programs that got it going recently. But, you know, we'll make those guys say no or give them a chance to come up here and say yes and show them what we're all about. But we have a lot to sell. You know, we have a great history, a great tradition. Hockey's a big sport on campus. Everybody in town, you know, lives and breathes hockey, most people. So we've got a lot of good things to sell, but those are some of the battles. So, you know, the blood gets boiling because we're competitive as well. You know, we put a lot of time and energy into getting to know these kids and be on the road, and you get those phone calls and then you get pretty upset there for a little bit, but it's good to be in battles like that, and we'll continue to do that.
What's interesting too, along those same lines, when you talk about a lot of kids tend to look at Big Ten maybe, or, you know, University of Minnesota is a big name. North Dakota is certainly a big name. NCHC kind of ranks ahead of WCHA right now, but there were 10 tournaments at the holiday time, either November around Thanksgiving or at Christmas time in the country this year. The WCHA teams were only invited to 3 of those 10 tournaments and won 2 of them. Yeah. And Lake Superior is one of them in Florida. And that's a big deal because we're not getting the chance maybe, but when we do, we can compete with anybody.
Well, and you look at, you know, Mankato, you know, now you get in the playoffs, it's a one-game shot. So it's not always the best team who wins. And you've seen a lot of examples of that over the years. But, you know, Mankato's as good as you saw. You saw that in the North Star Cup. You know, you take Bemidji, who's a mid-pack team in our league right now, and they go in and beat Duluth and then knock off Mankato, and Mankato knocked off the Gophers. So our league's, it's a great league, you know. Tech's been going pretty much all year long. Bowling Green's been a great team. So it's going to be interesting come tournament time. And obviously, you know, being part of the league, you root for those teams and to carry the flag for us. But, you know, I think Mankato's got a chance to get it done. I think BG's the team that's built for the playoffs, the way they play. And I think Michigan Tech's got depth throughout their lineup as well. And so it's going to be a fun tournament time. And our league's got a great chance to win a national championship this year.
All right, we're going to take a break on the show, our second break. Andrew Domet, the captain of the Lakers, will join us. We'll be right back with more on 1230 WSOO.
Right here.
And now let's head back to the Antlers restaurants for this special edition of the Laker Hockey Show on 1230 WSOO. Here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford.
All righty, we're back at the Antlers on a Monday evening. Good crowd on hand again, as usual. And Andrew Domet joining us now, the captain of this Laker hockey team. And, you know, I guess the obvious thing right now would be to talk about the 8 games you have remaining in your college career other than playoffs. How fast has this 4 years gone by? This is always a great question for me to ask players because I know that it seems like it just came in here and it's almost time to leave.
Yeah, it goes by fast. I mean, you know, you come in here as a freshman and the seniors, you know, they all tell you the same thing, but you don't really realize how fast this year, senior. It was actually like two nights ago, I had a nightmare. I woke up and I couldn't believe, like, I was dreaming about how fast it went. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, you know, you talk about it, but, until you actually experience it, you don't really know what it's all about.
Well, you know, and it seems like it was just yesterday we went and played at Pittsburgh and kind of got the season rolling there. And here it is. We're down to where we have eight games remaining in the season. I guess the highlight at this point would be the tournament down in Naples. I don't think anybody gave the Lakers a chance at all to even perform in that tournament, let alone win it. And got some great goaltending, some great defensive play, some very timely goals, and won a tournament. And it's been a pretty good second half since then. But it was fun for you, I would think, at that one to collect that hardware. You're the captain. You get to go out and pick up the big trophy.
Yeah, I mean, I've worn the C for a couple teams now, but I've never actually had to like go out and receive a trophy. So for me, that was pretty special, and obviously for the team, it was too. So, but we went down there, and we played unreal. We had, we played probably our best hockey, and we beat some pretty good teams. And ever since then, everything's been clicking and kind of rolling for us. So, we just have to stay on top of it, and for these last eight games, keep playing our best hockey, and I think, down the long run, we'll have great success.
Yeah, it's this is a team I don't think any team in the WCHA wants to play in the playoffs. Everybody kind of knows, okay, these guys are playing pretty well. They got great goaltending, and I don't want to play them in a playoff situation. But somebody's going to get the Lakers, because I think this Laker team's going to be a playoff team, which is probably one of the goals when you started this season, is it not?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I have a couple of buddies that play with Mankato, and they always say how they don't like playing us because we're kind of, we just work so hard, and some teams, if they take us for granted, we'll capitalize on that. So I think going into the playoffs, I think we will be a dangerous team. We come every day and compete, and maybe if we team comes in, looks at our kind of record and takes us a little too lightly, I think we'll be able to capitalize.
Well, since the Florida tournament, the only tough time we've had really was at Mankato. They're a very good team, and the officials got involved on Friday night. We wound up losing by 3-5, 3-1 the second game. That could have gone either way right there. I thought you played really pretty well down there, and that's a tough place to play. They've got a big crowd. They are a very, very highly skilled, very good team. They've got about as good a bunch of forwards as you're going to see in the college game.
Yeah, for sure. They have tons of talent, and we came into their rink and we had our game plan, and I think that's what's making us so successful. We stick to our game plan, and we do everything kind of the right way. And obviously, you said Friday, we kind of ran into some penalties, and the officials kind of maybe ran away with the game. But I think coming on Saturday, losing 3-1, we're right there. I mean, to have they were after that, they were ranked number one in the nation, so. And when you can say that you go into the number one nation's barn and, have good games and, be right there to, take a win out of their barn, I think that's a, pretty good sign.
Well, we're the only team that's been able to beat Bemidji in the second half. That's a team that came in on a 7-game win streak. It took two from them, and albeit the first game was tough, it took a goal with 6.6 seconds remaining to get the win. But next night, pretty darn good game. I thought the first period of that game against Bemidji on Saturday night was probably as well as we've played all year, other than maybe the first period against Bowling Green in game one down there. So, things are looking up. This team is putting some things together and starting to really play as a team.
Yeah, I mean, since day one, we coaches came in and implemented a game plan, and, we've stuck to it. We've had some tough times, but, we never let that get us down. We just kept digging and doing what we're supposed to, and it's paying off right now, and we're playing our best hockey.
Now, how much of a role do you and Steven Perfetto and Drap Luck, et cetera, play Chris Iotti in the dressing room? Are you guys leaders by example, would you say, or do you do a lot of talking?
I think we kind of all do our different things. I think Perf is a little more vocal than Ciotti, so, they kind of flip-flop on their roles. But for me, I just try to read the situation. I think if I can see that one of the young guys or anyone on the team needs maybe just for me to talk to them, I approach them and do that. Or if I feel like they'll read off me better if I go out and kind of show how it's done. So for me, it's kind of reading the situation and trying to do both. I mean, I think you're only as good as your word. So like when you tell someone to work hard and then the next shift you go out and you don't work hard, it's tough for someone to follow you. So I just try to stay loyal to what I say in the room, whatever I say in the room. If it's it's go out, penalty kill, block a shot, I got to make sure I go out and do that. And if I keep doing that, I'm sure the guys will follow.
Yeah, you've had in your 4 years here at Lake Superior a couple of semi-serious injuries. You missed some time a couple years ago there with a concussion problem, and this year it's been the hand a little bit banged up there, but you've come back strong off all those things, and you're pretty healthy right now. In fact, according to the coach, everybody's pretty healthy right now, and that's a great thing. It's good to have everybody ready to go with these last eight games.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had some issues with my hand and my fingers, but that's hockey. You gotta play through it and kind of don't let it get in your head. Just go out and play. But right now, I think everyone's healthy. Everyone's on the ice. Everyone's looking good, strong. We had a good workout today, and guys are looking good. So it's good timing to have everyone healthy.
How about the blue-white game on the weekend? Now that was an opportunity for you guys to play against each other, but it's something you do every day anyway. In practice, you compete against each other, and some of those games get pretty spirited when you put the nets right together and go after it. But blue-white game, it was fun. I think it was a 3-2 game. But what was it like to play at Polar Stadium?
It was cool. I mean, that was the first time I've ever been in that rink, and it was cool. It's old and it has a lot of history, so it's. It was neat to play in it, but like you said, we play each other every day, but kind of in a setting like that when there's more kind of on the line, I guess, for to actually win a game against your other team, it gets pretty spirited.
Any side bets going on before the game?
None through the players, no.
Wes Young and I had one going, but I ended up losing, but it's because he bet on the wrong team. I thought it was a good game, though. I thought it got really spirited for a while, and kind of interesting how Globke and Perfetto kind of got things going there. They were jabbing each other and pushing and shoving and talking, and there's some competitive spirit right there.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. I mean, everyone's so close, but it just shows how competitive, our team is. Like, just a blue and white game, but guys are yelling at each other, and it's just because they want to win so bad and they work so hard, and if something kind of happens, they kind of get mad at each other. But I'd be more concerned if that stuff didn't happen, then guys maybe weren't competing that hard. But when there's a couple incidents when guys are getting mad at each other, they're working hard and they're competing hard. So it was like I said, I'd be more concerned if nothing was there. So it was good.
Now this weekend you're off to Alaska. This is a different situation. Now as a senior, you've done it a few times, so you can talk to younger guys. And of course, the younger guys, everybody in this team's been up to Anchorage now.
Yeah.
Fairbanks is a little bit farther, but they're both a test, and you go play on big ice. What do you guys do to get prepared for this one? You got to leave on Wednesday. It takes all day to get up there, and you want to have some success because points are so important right now.
Yeah, we talk. We talked today before practice. You got to make sure your practices here, like today and tomorrow, are those are so important. You got to because Wednesday's a whole travel day, we don't get to get on the ice. So we got to make sure our practices count, and we're working hard in practice. And then when you finally get up there, you got to make sure you stay hydrated, and your nutrition is so important on a long trip like that. So got to be smart. And then when you get up there, Thursday when we get on the ice, he's got to, kind of get the legs going. You got to work hard. I think that's the biggest thing when, you get up there Thursday and maybe you're a little tired and you don't work as hard. I think that's kind of, that's not good for you. You got to, get your legs going, work hard. And yeah, it's a weird situation to go all the way up there, but you just got to not really think too much into it. Just kind of go with it.
Well, the other thing that people don't really appreciate, I think sometimes if you've never been up there, when you're in Alaska this time of year, it's pretty much dark almost all day. It gets gray for a few hours, but it's never a bright, sunshiny day up there, at least not very often. You might get 2 hours of light, 3 hours, maybe four, with some grayness, but it's very cold. I noticed the other day, I think it was minus 40 in Fairbanks over the weekend. I'm not sure what the forecast is for this weekend, but that's even colder than what we've been putting up with. So a little bit of a surprise maybe for some of the guys who haven't been up there before when they make that trip from that standpoint.
Yeah, it definitely gets cold up there. But, it's cold everywhere. So I just, you know, when the freshmen know to talk about, you know, like how cold it is, you know, just my opinion, just put on a toque and put some gloves on and you'll get through it. So,
Well, yeah, but you're from Major Saskatchewan, so it's cold out there too.
Yeah, I'm used to being on the pond in this weather, so yeah, it's all good.
Well, you know, let's talk just a little bit. We only had a couple of minutes here, but how about schooling at this point? You're a senior. What's your major? Will there be a degree come April for Andrew Domit to fall back on someday when his hockey career is done?
Yeah, school's going good. I'm a business marketing major, so you know, as long as I get through all my classes this semester, I'll be able to graduate. And pretty sure my mom back home listening to this is kind of a little nervous with that. So, but she knows that, you know, I'll take care of it, and you know, it's something so important to me and her that I get the degree, so I'll be okay.
Yeah, she's a big fan. She gets here maybe once a season. It's not exactly around the corner, but I know your mom, and she's a big fan of Andrew Domit, and she has been very supportive of you for 4 years now.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, she does a lot for me, and you know, there's things I couldn't do in life without her. So it's nice to be in. It's a privilege to have her around like this.
Okay, well, I thank you for captaining this team this year. You've done a great job. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Good luck the rest of this regular season, and let's do well in the playoffs this year.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Andrew Domit joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll let him get out of here. We'll move the coach back in. We'll be right back with more on WSOO 1230. Sault Ste. Marie.
20074. And now let's head back to the Allers Restaurant for this special edition of the Laker Hockey Show on 1230 WSOO. Here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford.
Okay, we're back. We've got just a few minutes left in the show tonight. We really appreciate the fans who came out here tonight for joining us. We wanted to make mention the mayor was going to join us tonight, but he had a meeting to attend, so he couldn't even be on the show. But on February the 10th, which is a week from tomorrow, they're going to have this Craft Hockeyville photo session. It's going to be at 5:30 p.m. at Puller Stadium, and they're looking for anybody who's a fan of hockey just to show up there, because what they're looking for is a mass photograph of all these people on the ice. It's all part of what you do if you're looking for that award as Craft Hockeyville, and that's one thing the Sioux is shooting at big time right now. So they want to get people down there a week from tomorrow at 5:30 at Puller Stadium, just to be in the picture. And I know they wanted the Laker hockey team there, but NCAA rules get in the way there. That's similar to the Abbey Rock situation. We just cannot do that if it's Lakers or Lake Superior State. So, Damon, you kind of miss out on that.
Yeah, well, and if you have your Laker jersey, any of our fans here listening, make sure you get down there. I know I think I will be there. I'm pretty sure I can make it down there. So coaches can go, but I believe we can at least, waiting for a rule interpretation, but our players cannot be part of it for sure. So we need some Laker hockey jerseys down there. So fans, get down there and help us out in this bid for Craft Hockeyville.
Yep, that'll be a week from tomorrow at 5:30 at Puller. Okay, one last question here before we get out of here tonight. You're going to Alaska. You leave on Wednesday. It's a long trip. You got extra guys now because everybody's healthy. This is a tough decision for you coaches to sit down and decide who's going to go on this trip. I think you probably know who the 20 are going to be, but how do you decide amongst all these good kids who are working so hard who the extra two guys are going to be?
Well, great question, and just real quick, I know we're real tight on time, but Mrs. Domit, Major Saskatchewan, listening, I mean, should be so proud of Andrew. He's done an unbelievable job leading our program this year, and I know in the past as well. So really, really proud of Andrew and the year he's had for us, and what he means to our program. And if you know just go watch on Facebook or the website his tribute to Gil Solms. I mean, just a well spoken, represents our program so well. So really pleased with Andrew. His parents done a great job with him. Getting to the decisions, Bill, it's tough, and you want it to be tough. You know, again, we put a lot of weight into Saturday at the Polar. And there was some separation, you know, some guys played very well and really solidified their spots in the lineup or in the travel party. And some guys we are hoping to pull ahead or say, hey, we need to get you in there. You can help us in the world. Some guys weren't able to do that. So I won't say anything now because we have to have a good practice tomorrow, but we'll let the guys know post-practice tomorrow who's going to be on the trip. And, you know, those lines and those D pairings that you mentioned, they've been fairly solid for a little while now, so there's not a lot of major tweaks to that main playing group with the health, but we want guys competing and making it tough, and we'll have some of that. So I think we have a pretty good idea as a staff leaving Saturday. Coach Aubrey wasn't there, but Rich and I were pretty much on the same page with who we liked, who we thought performed well, and then guys that we were a little bit disappointed in their play.
All right. Well, that we'll all be hearing about it. Bruce Check will have the games for us on Yes FM this weekend. We don't make the trip up to Alaska. But Bruce Check, who's from Saginaw, Michigan originally, will be doing the play-by-play. He does a good job, and you can listen to both games, and we'll have it on the Internet as well. Damon, good luck in Alaska, and next Monday night we'll be sitting here hopefully talking about a couple of victories against the Nanooks and be in a great position in the playoffs picture as well.
And you don't sound too disappointed. The picture you painted of Fairbanks with the leather and the gray, I don't think you're too disappointed to miss this trip, but we appreciate it, and hope everybody tunes in. When you're done listening, get down to the men's basketball game and wish them luck and cheer them on tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Men are playing tonight. Get on up.